This morning we're gonna. I want to start in Matthew 25. On last Tuesday we were kind of talking about Matthew 25 1 to 13 about the 10 virgins, and I know it's a parable, and there's other scriptures. I had given everybody scriptures. Not everybody. Almost everybody has scriptures. And so it would be kind of like a Bible study, the involvement. And just really want to talk, how is our mindset? Do we have anticipation of the Lord's appearing? Because sometimes we always been, if you've been growing up in the church, you're like, well, the Lord's return is going to be soon. And then, you know, you always hear that. But I think now it's sooner than what it was before. We don't know the day or the hour when the Lord's appearing is going to be. We don't know. But we see signs. And like Jesus told his disciples in the Olive Discourse, when you start seeing these things happen, get ready. And you think about what's happening in this world right now. You see what's happening in the Middle East. You see what's happening even in this country. You see how people are forming to one world government. That's biblical prophecy. One world government will not take place until the church is gone. One world currency won't happen until the church is gone. But we start seeing things like this. People are talking about this stuff. And it's priming people to be ready. So any day doesn't take any other prophecies right now for the church to be caught up. It could happen during the service, after the service. It could happen next year. We don't know. But how are we prepared to be doing what the Lord has called us to do now? Right? That's the mindset. Are we persevering through difficulties? Or do we allow our life situations dictate how we perceive life? It's so easy to get caught up in our own lives, but do we have this eternal hope, knowing that this is not the best life ever? Our best life is going to be when Jesus comes. We are caught up with him. So do we have this anticipation of our groom coming to pick us up? It's like, have you ever had a holiday booked? And you say, well, in 6 months I'm going on vacation. And I'm going to see family. And when you know it's like 6 months away or 8 months away, or that you know your kid's going to come home for Christmas or whatever, you have this anticipation. Right? And we have this anticipation, and each day, you know, it gets closer and closer and closer until the day it happens. Do we have the same anticipation for Christ returning? Right? Do I long for him more and more each day? And I know we did a fast, and the fast is to have our minds renewed and have this anticipation and desire to know more of the Lord, to be in his word more, to listen to him, and to desire him more and more each day. It's like, Lord, I'm dying to myself. I really want to know more of you. That's anticipation. Do I have that desire? So Matthew 25, 1 to 13, it's just talking about Jesus gave a parable, right? And it's about being prepared. And you think about the Bible, a third of it is about Bible prophecy. And what does Bible prophecy do? It prepares the people, God's children, He said these things will happen. He is telling you now so that you're prepared for what is yet to come. He doesn't want you in the dark. He doesn't want you to freak out, get worried, go all haywire, all, you know, and just like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this world's going upside down. The world's been upside down since day one, after the sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, that's what happens. But these things will happen. And so for us, it's like, am I trusting the Lord? Even though these things, I see what's happening today, does it draw me closer to the Lord or further away from Him? Does that make sense? Do I, when I see these things happening, I see the language that's coming from the politicians. Does it cause me to pray for the lost? Does it stir me to share the truth of the gospel? We all have passions, don't we? We have a passion. What is your passion today? And God's placed us in, He gives us businesses, He gives us workplaces, He gives us friendships. He's placed you in key areas that you have this passion for. You love your job, but He also gives you a passion for the heart of the lost. Use that platform that He's given you to share the gospel, to pray with people, right? We all have opportunities to share the gospel. He's given that. He's given us a mouth and a tongue and ears and a heart so we can listen and pray for people, to encourage people. As a body of Christ, we're here to encourage one another in the faith. And so as we will read in Matthew before I go off, way off kilter, it says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. When in Jewish customs, when the bridegroom would meet with his bride, and her dad, they would make a, you know, exchange, and they would drink a cup together. So it's when my wife and I would, if I would be, you know, control her, just like say, Lord, Akrina, I'm going to give you this cup. And she accepts it, she automatically becomes my wife, right? The wedding's later. But as soon as that moment she takes that cup from me, we're married. And so this is talking to the Jewish people. It's like they know that the groom goes away for a time to build onto his father's house. The bride doesn't know until, she doesn't know the day or the hour when the groom's going to come home or back to pick her up, right? Even the groom doesn't know until the father says, you know, son, go and get your bride. And so we don't know when Jesus is going to be appearing again. But it's the job of the bride to be ready, to have her gown ready, to have everything ready, be doing about the Lord's business. Right? Because it could be a year. It could be whatever length of time. We don't know. But we're supposed to be doing what the Lord has called us to do. The bride is supposed to be ready for her groom. Are we ready for the groom? And so these 10 virgins who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and the other 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, right, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, said, no, there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And after the other virgins came, also saying, Lord, Lord, open it to us. But he answered and said, surely I did not know you. I said to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Expectation. Are we expectant? We know by Bible prophecy, Jesus is coming back. You think about the Pharisees. They knew, and the Sadducees, they knew there was a Messiah coming. There was so much Bible prophecy of Jesus' first appearing, and when he came, none of them knew or didn't even recognize it was him. There's only a few that knew who he was. Even as a child, they knew he was the Savior. There was expectation. They were reading the Word of God. They were meditating on the Word of God. They stayed true. They didn't know when his first appearing was going to be. Like us, we don't know when his appearing will be. Are we prepared and ready for his appearing? Do I have the same love for him today? Or have I grown cold? Where is our mindset? Is it more about sports? Is it more about cell phone apps, etc.? Where does my mind go when I'm resting at home? Do I think more about Jesus? Do I find myself as the Lord stirs my heart to think about the Lord more and more each day? How is the Holy Spirit transforming your mind and heart? And as we did the fast, we are like, how did the Lord work? How has the Lord been transforming your heart and your mind? Do you find that you have this passion now, a more of a passion for the lost? Because we know what's going to happen. We've been doing Revelation, right? We did Revelation 9. 2 weeks ago. If you look at these, what's it's talking about, what is yet to come, and you see what is Revelation 9, even Revelation 8, well, 7, 8, 9, 10, these things are future. This is going to happen. It's literal. And so if you know these things are going to happen, when you hear the Word of God, how does it stir you? Does it stir you to share the gospel or just keep it to yourself? How does it stir you? Do you have a passion for them? Are we eagerly awaiting for his appearing? So it comes down to a mindset. And so who has 2 Timothy 4:8? And if you have, can you just stand and as we read scriptures, we'll just stand so we could project our voice and so everybody could hear. So 2 Timothy 4:8. And we'll have it on the screen too. So love his appearing. NIV expectation or something. I know there's an expectation of his appearing. Are we expecting of his appearing? Who has Hebrews 9 verse 28. Yeah. It says to the in New King James, it says to those who eagerly wait for him. Is the bride eagerly waiting for her groom? Like, do we have this eagerness? Right? It's like a vision. But we all have a goal and a plan. And we want to have a vision of what's happening. Like, because I know, like, when I hit an age, whatever, I want to do something different. I want to have this desire. And I, as we grow with the Lord, am I growing in trusting Him and relying on Him more and more in this life? Right? Or have I become complacent? And so as we read 1 Corinthians 1:7, so whoever has 1 Corinthians 1:7. New King James is eagerly waiting. Eagerly. Desiring. Right? I think sometimes, like I said, we grown complacent, right? I don't think we've all have come complacent at times. It's like, Lord, I want to be waking up. I want to be prepared, right? And that's the heart. It's like, Lord, wake me up so I have this desire to eagerly wait for you. And desire more of you. Like, what is your desire? What is your heart? And so, Matthew 24, I didn't put that up there. I don't think I did. Did I? Oh, I did too. So, Matthew 24, it says, who then is faithful and wise servant? Whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season. Blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, and find in due, he will find doing. So when the Lord comes, he's going to find you doing what he's asked you to do. Right? We all have gifts. We all have talents. Are we going to be found doing what he's called us to do? Sharing the gospel, making disciples. All of us have a mandate to make disciples. Not the pastor. All of us have a mandate to share the truth of the gospel to friends and family. We all have that mandate. Do not exclude yourself, say, well, I'm not good enough. Well, we all have passions. We all have desires. And it's like, Lord, give me the same passion and desire that I have for other things, but I want that for you to share the truth to others. And just be real with people. People see through fakeness. If you have a genuine love for people, they will see that. And they will know that it's from the heart. Right? When he comes, finding you doing what he's asked you to do. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. We know by scripture, when the church, the body of Christ, is caught up, we come back with him and we rule and reign with him. In Revelation 19, 20, I can't remember, I always forget, 19 or 20. When he comes back, we rule and reign with him. during the millennium kingdom. Revelation 20 is the millennium kingdom. We rule and reign with Christ. That's literal. It's not a spiritual thing. It's a literal thing that we will rule and reign with him. How we live today and the rewards we will reap because we have a heavenly-minded thought, thinking, is like I'm storing up what can't be perishing in heaven. It will not rust. It will not grow moldy. It will not fade away. So as we serve the Lord with our hearts and genuine love for him, sharing the gospel, right, we are building up rewards. And through that faithfulness, we will be rewarded in the end. But I don't look at it, it's like, oh yeah, I love the Lord now, I get all these rewards later. But it's like, I have this love for him. I want to do these things for him. Because what he has done so much in my life, how he's transformed my life, and how he's been developed me to have this love and deeper love for people. Because I want to serve him. And so when we come back with him, he will reward us for our faithfulness. That's what's going to happen. And does that stir in your heart to say, Lord, forgive me for my complacency because I have grown faithless, become faithless because I'm worried about what's happening here right now in this world. Rather than, okay, Lord, help me through this difficult season, but Lord, my eyes are more fixed on what is yet to come. So, did I do 47? I can't remember. Anyways, okay, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. It speaks of just putting off the eagerness to dive into the Lord. It's like that evil servant, he's like, oh, the Lord, my master's delays. He's not coming back. I have lots of time. I could do whatever. And eventually, he puts off what is right and becomes like the world. Worldly thinking. See, you see the issues? Like when we lose our focus and that we say, well, I've been hearing the Lord's coming, supposed to be coming sooner and sooner. And if somebody puts a date onto it, don't listen to them. Walk away from them. Because so many people have put dates on things. They don't know. They are deceiving so many people. And you think how many people have been deceived? Time and time again, because certain people have put dates on things. Or people say, well, right now we're living in the millennium kingdom. We're not living in the millennium kingdom. We need to be aware who we're listening to and what the Word of God says. Right? In the last week, I've heard people say, for one person, he says, like, right now, you know, we are living, like, after the millennium kingdom. And I'm like, how is that possible? I ask him in Revelation 9, it talks about these plagues. A third of the water turns like blood. A third of the merchant ships get destroyed. A third of the trees are burnt up. A third of the population of the world has been killed off. Has those things ever happened yet? No. So we are not, tribulation has not happened yet. See what happens when people are misleading so many people? It brings discouragement. It brings doubt. We need to be careful who we listen to. Not everybody on YouTube knows everything. Or big names. Big platforms. Be careful who you listen to. Read your Bible. What does the Bible say? Eagerly waiting has a purifying effect on us. It causes us to meditate on the Word, praying for the lost, family, and friends, to to share the gospel, to grow in godly character. That's what eagerly waiting is doing, growing in godly character, not to become complacent. 2 Timothy, who has 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 to 19. I think it was verse 17, it talks about babbling. And babbling, what is babbling? So meaningless, foolish, empty talk. Right? We hear a lot of that. Foolish talk. Empty talk. And the Bible warns against it. Especially engaging in such talk. It actually, the Bible emphasizes for us, the words that we were supposed to speak are supposed to be edifying and building up one another in the faith. Right? Are we lifting up and encouraging one another in the faith? Or are we just going, talking about things that don't really matter? Because if we're talking about things that are edifying and building up the body of Christ, that encourages people. And that also will stir them to have this mindset of the Lord's appearing, to encourage people, to build people up, to stand with people when they go through difficulties, to be praying for them. Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6. That would be the next one. Who has that one? To continue earnestly seeking the Lord, in a nutshell, right? How does perspective expect, or how does perspective affect your life? It expect, like it really, your perspective, how you see this world and how we see what is yet to come, it does affect how we live now. Right? If my eyes are not on the things of what is yet to come, on the kingdom of God, if my eyes are not on the kingdom of God, I won't think about the Lord and his appearing. I'm very short-minded about only worrying about what's going to happen today and what's going to happen tomorrow. Right? You're very short, was it near-minded, you're short-minded, or whatever the word is, I can't think of the word. But we only think what's going to happen today, what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't are not planning for the future. Things, the Lord says, even the sparrows, like the birds of the air, don't worry about their next food, they don't worry, right? God's going to help you in our times of trouble. He's going to encourage you and shape and mold you to help you grow, but he will do that as we trust and lean on him. He will do that. but also do I have this perspective of what is yet to come? And we know by Bible prophecy, these things will happen. So it should be stirring on us, stirring in our hearts about the future, about the appearing of Christ. Do we live for the now without the perspective of what happens when we depart from this world? Or do we have an eternal perspective? What perspective do we have? Do we have an eternal perspective or not? And only you and the Lord, as the Lord speaks to you, He will show you. I want to read Romans 8, and that's not up on the thing. Verse 22, Romans 8, 22. And to 25. So, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors for growth pains, together until now. Not only that, but also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does it one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for with it with perseverance. We have this longing, knowing we are just visitors in this world. And our home now as believers in Christ, the kingdom of God is our home. Do we have this groaning in our heart, a longing to be at home with our Lord and Savior? Right? Do we have that? And if not, it's like, Lord, help me to have that. Help me to persevere. Because it says that. In verse 25, it says, perseverance. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. 2 Corinthians 4:18, another one. I think sometimes we it's easy to see with our natural eyes what's happening, right? And a lot of times with our natural eyes, we get so discouraged and we lose heart. And we wonder, God, what are you doing? But rather, he's saying, these things, what we are naturally seeing with our own eyes, just temporary. Just temporary. They don't mean really anything. But he's preparing us. Through difficulties, through trials, he's preparing his children to grow and to trust and lean on him. That's what he's doing. But the things which are not seen are eternal. The things that I do for the Lord out of love, but not to earn, because you can't earn things. I do it out of admiration for him. I do it because I want to show him that I love and care for him because I desire to bless him. He doesn't need our blessing, but it's a way of showing my love towards my Father because I want to do it. And I don't see the rewards. I don't do it for the rewards, but I just want to do it because what he's done so much in our lives. Because you think about even in 2 Kings 6, you think Elijah's servant, whose eyes were opened so he could see the angel surrounded and that was protecting them. Because in his natural life, he's seen all these big armies around them. And Elisha says, you know what? We have more people for us that are against us. And so often we see things in our natural eyes. And then he's like, Lord, open my eyes so I can actually see what's happening. Open my, help me to see spiritually what is happening around me. And as you know, you think, you know, you could be discouraged, like, well, there's not many people here today. What, but what's happening in the spiritual realm? I'm not saying go seek and find angels and all that stuff. But they're here. Angels are ministering angels. God is here. Where one or two are gathered, he is here. And as he ministers to your heart, and as he ministers to you, it's like, Lord, help me to see the spiritual side of what is happening. Because there's people coming to faith in Christ every single day. Millions of people are coming to faith. None of that's talked about because, like, contrary to what the world says, what is happening today, Lord? Right? So most of us see no further than the horizons of this world. To correct our short-sightedness, God prescribes a vision correction that allows us to look through the lenses of eternity. Suddenly realize present life is but a brief window of opportunity to invest in what will last for eternity. Are we investing in the kingdom of God? Am I investing my time, my talents in the kingdom of God? Hebrews 11:26. Esteeming Christ changes your perspective. That's who we serve. I mean, we're esteeming our Lord and Savior. Because when we look at a narrow-minded way, we look at ourselves. It's kind of depressing. I don't like looking at myself. It's kind of depressing. But it's just like, Lord, only you could bring hope in my life. Right? When we have daily worries, do these worries overshadow and cause blindness, which is what he's yet to come? A lot of times it does. Our worries, it's going to happen today or tomorrow or this week, a lot of times it overshadows what's going to happen. It's like, Lord, prepare me. Help me. And I want to have a different mindset. Proverbs 29:18. So no revelation, the people cast off restraint. So when there's no vision, people drift. They drift. When there's no revelation, no, you know, when we lose sight of what is yet to come and we lose sight of Jesus says, I am coming back, and we don't think about him, we drift. We get complacent. We don't take his word really at face value. Prophecies, supposed to be encouraging us to stay faithful, keep us ever looking to him. That's what Bible prophecy is about. A third of the Bible is about Bible prophecy. And it's about preparing the church, keeping the bride looking to the groom for his coming. Instead of worrying about, babbling about something that doesn't really matter. Do do I really want to see people saved? Do I really want to be used by God? It just, the prophetic word is to prepare the children of God so that they don't lose hope or eternal perspective. Prophetic scripture tells us what will happen. It's a future event that God is telling us about. It's a future event that he's preparing. He knows. God knows the beginning and the end. Right? He knows all things. Nothing catches him off guard. He knew the government we're going to have. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that. But he desires us to trust him and to rely on him to grow. If we don't have a future event in God, we will cast off restraint and become like the world and not to believe in Bible prophecy. That's why a lot of churches don't like talking about Bible prophecy. They don't really trust the word of God in a way, because the Bible prophecy is supposed to encourage, not to scare people. Bible prophecy is supposed to develop people and keep your eyes focused on what is yet to come. So you don't become complacent. You don't drift away. That makes sense. I want to go back, circle back to Matthew. Matthew 24, I'm going to go. And 48. So it says, right? But if the evil servant says in his heart, my master's delay is coming, and begins to beat his own fellow servants and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, in the hour that he is not aware of. The prophetic vision has been put off on this evil, on that servant. He's not thinking about the future. He's only thinking about the now. He's laying aside, he's putting off, the restraints to live a holy life. We as the bride of Christ are supposed to live a holy, righteous life. We're called to put off the things of this world. We're supposed to put off the old nature and put on the new nature. And when we start having the perspective of putting on the worldly stuff, we walk further away from the Lord. But as we say, Lord, I want to live a life that honors you. I want to live a holy, righteous life. It's like there's that eagerness and desire to serve him. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. You know, it talks, you know, it talks, thank you. No, that's because it's a different version. I have New King James. So that's good. Verse 1 talks about encourage. There's a great cloud of witnesses, people who have came before us. People in heaven are cheering the us on. The people cheering, and so that we are enduring, so that we don't lose hope, right? And we're working for perseverance. We're persevering through what's yet to happen. We're growing. It's so easy to get discouraged, right? Because we don't see everything. We only see a piece of the puzzle. But it's like, Lord, help me to persevere. And that's why when you come to church and outside of church, getting together with other believers, and you talk about what the Lord is doing, sharing what God is doing in your life, rather than what the football game is or whatever garbage, because really we love to talk about other things other than God because we're afraid that we might look kind of religious, right? If we are talking more about the Lord and what he's doing and what the Word of God is doing in our life, if we talked more about that 5 or 10% more each time, how would that affect our lives? How would that change my perspective of what is yet to come? Really, what matters? It's like, you know, the Lord helped me in my work today. He gave me this inspiration how to help somebody when I was working with them. And I was like, this is how the Lord has worked in my life in the last little bit. Just simple. I was thinking about the Lord because you're like, you are planting that seed in a person's life that maybe not know the Lord. It's like, I'm like, you know, this is how the Lord's been working in my life. You share how the Lord's been working. So Titus 2, verse 13. Keeping our eyes to the blessed hope, no matter the situations that we're going through, eternal perspective. How about 2 Peter 3, 10 to 14? Colossians 3, who has Colossians 3, 1 to 4? I'm going to read First Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to 18. It's just because this is what's going to happen, right? And so First Thessalonians 4, 16 says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." That's what's going to happen. We are going to be caught up. That talks, when we're caught up is actually rapture. And so it's like, this is what's going to happen. These things have not yet happened because we're still here. Right? And we're not going through tribulation because that's God's wrath and judgment. You know that we have been saved from God's wrath? When you surrendered your life to Christ, You're no longer under wrath of God. That's another truth. We're saved from wrath. But it doesn't mean that we get to live however we want. Right? It's like, Lord, help me to live for you. Stir in my heart, Lord, a desire for you more and more. And Lord, that you would use me where you have placed me to share the gospel. Yep. So Lord, as we close, I pray that, Father, that you would give us a heavenly perspective. And not to be... forgive us at times when we lose our perspective. And Lord, I know we all have been there, but thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. And Lord, that you have given us your Holy Spirit to stir in us and to have this desire for you more and more each day. And Lord, help us be heavenly minded, not to grow weary or to shrink back or just get worldly, but Lord, help us to have this mindset of what is yet to come. And Lord, as we hear your prophecies, as we read your prophetic word, pray that it would stir in us and resonate in our hearts to share and to be used by you. And Father, we just pray for the lost, the people in our families. We pray for the lost that we interact with each day. And Lord, I just pray that we would be willing just to share from our heart. And Lord, to pray for them. Just be able to pray for them, that our prayer life between you and us would become richer and fuller, that we would come to you and listen to your voice. And then Lord, as we read your word, Father, that would stir in us a deeper desire for you. Well, Lord, I do pray that we would actually see things differently. And Lord, to ask you, help us to see truly what's behind it all. Lord, I know your word says we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we battle against the spiritual things around us. And so, Lord, help us when we get aggravated, resentful, or bitter. But Lord, help us to ask, what is the cause of all this? And to say, Lord, help me to see and help me not to react out of my flesh, but just help me to react by being prayerful. And Lord, to be ever sensitive to your leading. Lord, I pray for protection over our minds. Lord, I pray that your word will continue to grow in our hearts, that our eyes will be opened up more and more to the truth. Lord, that you help us to persevere during this time. And also, Lord, we thank you that we live here in such a time as this. We get to see how you are working, and we just pray, Father, for opportunities to share and to be used by you, whatever fashion you want to use us, Lord. Let us be willing to be used by you. Thank you that you have given us all talents and giftings for your glory and for your purpose. And Lord, I do pray for everyone else that's not here today. I pray, Father, that you would bless them and encourage them. Strengthen them, Lord. I pray, Father, for just protection, Lord. I pray for your hedge of protection around everyone here. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, we thank you for your provision. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us all health. And I thank you for answered prayer. Lord, we thank you for so many things. Lord, let us not to give up on prayer. But Lord, help us to drive for desire to pray more often. And I thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. And Lord, we thank you for, as we pick up offering, Lord, thank you for you. How you have blessed us financially and spiritually. Lord, we want to give back to you with a grateful heart. In Jesus' name.